Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
Good evening, everyone.
Tonight
we hear in the gospel someone like us wanting to become perfect, and the both simple and difficult response from Jesus. For the times where we have failed to give everything up to follow him, or even to give anything up to follow him, let us call to mind our sins. For men, it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God. I love this reading in the gospel from Mark chapter 10. It's really good for vocations work, actually. Someone runs up to God and says, Jesus, right, God, and says, what do I got to do, right? Like, I want to be who I'm supposed to be. And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. Do the basic Catholic Christian thing, you know? Avoid evil, do good. And he says, yeah, but I've done those. Now, what's left? And then Jesus says, if you want to just take it up a notch, leave everything and follow me. Then you'll have real treasures. And the guy walks away sad. Many people kind of think the story ends there because he's gone, right? He's sad. I guess he's in hell, you know, sorry, right? But it's very possible he goes away sad because he realizes that his past life is sinful and he feels bad for it and he's going to repent and then come back. Or he's sad because he likes his things. He knows it's going to be hard to give them up, but he's going to do it anyway. I don't know. Many of us, as we discern, are in those same stages too, aren't we? We know what we've had, and man, it's been good, or some of it's been good, or at least something in it has been good. And moving on is going to be difficult. Well, then Jesus goes on to say, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. I almost said a needle to pass through a camel's eye. Not that. It's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. That's a great visual, right? A camel, pretty big. Eye of a needle, pretty small. It's easier for that to happen than someone who's hanging on to things to get in. Well, when I was in Israel, I think it was the first time I went there. Maybe I've told some of you this story before. When I was in Israel the first time, they were talking about this gospel passage at one of the entrances to the city of Jerusalem. The eye of the needle was actually a physical thing there at the city. So people would come to Jerusalem from all over the place, and back in those days, you put a wall around everything that mattered, right, in the city. And so in order to do business with the city, you had to get in through the wall. Now, there are giant gates and stuff, right, for like kings and princes that come to visit, or for military needs to come or go. But what's for the average person, or like the no-name trader, they'd bring their things on a camel's back, right? So you get a big, sturdy, strong camel to carry all of these cups or jewels or widgets or whatever you have into the city of Jerusalem. And when you arrive, in order for the city to get a little bit of income tax, you'd have to make your camel pass through a narrow opening in the wall of the city. And the camel could go through. And everything else that was bigger than the camel had to come off and got taxed. So they called that the eye of the needle. Now imagine, it looks like an obelisk or like a Washington Monument, except shrunk down, right? So like tapered and long, pointed on the top because the hump on the camel's back. And you'd basically offload everything you could on your camel and then begin to put it back on in very strategic places. If you had goods. Like you'd hang it from its belly, right? To try to get it through the wall because you don't want to get taxed for these things. You would try to be smart, a good businessman. Well, I told this homily one time and a businessman was right in front of me whenever I told this homily. And afterward, he goes, someone should be on the outside of the wall selling skinny camels. I think we're always looking for skinny camels. This week, I brought donuts to a class at my parish school, Because I tell the classes, if someone stands out really well, like the whole class does, they stand up at the right time, say, and with your spirit, sing loudly, you know, participate well at Mass, and they get donut parties. It works really well, by the way, if you're trying to encourage kids to participate, because they don't know who's going to get it or when, and so they're always active. It's awesome. So the first grade won, or one of the classes that was first grade that won. I brought donuts in, and one of the little boys, a first grade boy, said he didn't want a donut because he's a wrestler. He's trying to cut weight. A first grader. And he could have had 2 or 3 donuts, right? There were plenty there. And he said no. And I rewarded him by giving him one of those tiny oranges instead, because I brought some of those in case kids were allergic to gluten or whatever, you know. But he did it, right? He wanted it that badly. How bad do we want it? How bad do we want to change or grow? You know, people all the time come to priests, deacons, and maybe even to you and say, I wish that I could stop watching bad things on Netflix or on whatever streaming service you like. And yet, we don't delete the services, do we? We say, well, I'll just not watch that show. Good luck. Or we say, I don't want to be on social media as much because it gives me angst, or it makes me mad, or I get sucked in and I just waste my time. And so then we just take that app on our phone and drop it into a little group so it's harder to find, don't we? Who's done it? Yeah, we've all done this. We do this, right? Well, I'll just put it over here in this app, Skinny Camel. I'm going to sneak away little things to not get taxed, not get seen. Or how many of us say, I don't want to gossip anymore, but yet we won't stop going to visit that person or that group or at that time when we know it's going to happen. Or we don't go in with a game plan, at least. I'm going to talk about these three things when they bring up things that are gossipy. I can change the subject to these three different things. We don't do it. For man, it's impossible. But not for God. All things are possible for God. Recently, too, I was talking to a friend of mine. I don't want to say too much, but he's struggling with some sexual sins. We'll just say that. And he's been struggling with it for a long time. And we talked about it kind of candidly, you know, not in the context of confession or anything like that. We just talked about it pretty openly. And then finally he said, yeah, I'm now seeing a counselor about once a month to try to get past these things. And I said, you're seeing a counselor once a month for this? Like, I thought, man, like that's pretty serious, right? And he said, well, it's either that or I go to hell. It's either that, or I live in hell. That's a guy who's not looking for a skinny camel. I wonder if we realized that the only way to ever get through the gate is to maybe leave the camel behind. What if we didn't hide anything from God anymore? What if we didn't try to sneak anything through on our phone or in our checkbook or in conversation or in our thoughts? What if every single item was worth dropping outside the heavenly city walls so that God could take care of it for us? For man, for us, becoming perfect is going to be impossible, but not for God. Everything's possible for God. Just let him do it.